It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome back to Fresh Oil. I'm Pastor Keith Manley, and I'm so glad you're listening today. Every time we gather on this broadcast, I really believe God desires to pour out His Word to us, to give us fresh oil from heaven and strengthen you and empower you for your daily walk. We've been walking through my book, Matters of the Heart, and in the last program, we questioned what is the heart. And today we're going to go deeper with a message that I call Soul and Spirit, Knowing the Difference. How to tell the difference in your soul and your spirit. This may be one of the most important distinctions you'll ever learn, because if you don't know the difference between your soul and your spirit, you'll confuse emotions with faith, human reasoning with God's revelation, and you'll confuse temporal feelings with eternal truth. So it's a very important lesson to learn today. We're going to talk about soul and spirit and what is the difference. I want to begin with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. It's one of the important verses that speak of the Trinity of man, spirit, soul, and body. This is what it says. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? Paul breaks us down into three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Now, the body is the obvious part. We look at it in the mirror every day. It's our physical frame. It's the temple that houses us here on this earth. The soul is our mind. It's our will and our emotions. It's mission control for our life. It's our personality and our human faculties. This is where the memories are stored, in the soul. And then the spirit is that God-conscious part of us. It's where God the Holy Spirit resides in us. It's the place where we connect directly with God. It's where He speaks to us. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So the word is so sharp, so precise, that it can divide what we often confuse, which is soul and spirit. I want you to imagine you're tuning a radio, and there's static. Now, most radio today is digital, and so you don't get the static, but I remember when I would try to tune in a station, one from far away, and I would get this static. Voices are coming in and out, and it's hard to distinguish. Well, that's the soul. It's cluttered, it's noisy, it's emotional. But then you find the clear frequency, the voice comes through. That's the spirit. It's clear, it's a pure connection with God, and the Word of God tunes your dial to His frequency. Ask yourself today, am I living out of my soul, just reacting with emotions or intellect? Or am I living out of my spirit in communication and communion with God? Let's first talk about the soul today. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's the seat of your personality, and we're all created differently. We all have a different personality. But this is where you think, where you make your choices, where you feel, where you hurt, where you rejoice. In Psalm 42, verse 11, David said this, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" So there he speaks of the soul is within him, and here it's downcast. It's the seat of his emotions. David went on to say, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God." Friend, David was talking to his soul. He recognized that his emotions were low, that his thoughts were heavy. But he told his soul, "Shape up, boy. Put your hope in God." See, the soul is like a thermometer. It reflects the temperature of circumstances. If the sun is shining and people praise you, your soul fills up. If the clouds gather and people are criticizing, your soul feels down. That's the soul. It's reactive to the pressure in life. And here's the danger. If you only live out of the soul, you're going to live on a roller coaster. You're going to be up one day and down the next. How many of your decisions have you made purely based on feelings? How often has your mind rationalized something that your spirit knew wasn't right, but your mind said, you deserve this, or you got to do this? Now let's talk about the function of the spirit. The spirit is different, totally different. In John 4:24, it says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. In Romans 8:16, Paul put it this way. He said, the spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So the spirit is where God's spirit communes with you. It's the place of faith, revelation, and intimacy with God. If your soul is like a thermometer reflecting circumstances, I believe the spirit is like a thermostat. It sets the atmosphere. It doesn't react. It governs. It says, peace be still, even when the storm is raging. It changes the temperature. Think of a tree. The leaves and the branches are visible. That's like your soul. But the roots, they're hidden underground. That's your spirit. The roots draw nourishment unseen, keeping the tree alive even in times of drought. Your spirit draws from God, sustaining you even when your soul feels empty. Friend, are you living like a thermometer up and down with circumstances, or like a thermostat anchored in the spirit, setting the tone of your life? In Galatians 5:17, Paul gives us a real insight into the conflict that goes on between spirit and soul, and perhaps you know what I'm talking about. There's times when your spirit's telling you one thing and your soul's telling you another. Your flesh is desiring something else. It says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. I went through a radical change in my diet, and you know what? My flesh would still love to pig out on pizza. My flesh would still like an ice cream. But you know what? My soul, my spirit man says, no. My spirit man says, that's not helpful. Let's change the temperature. Let's turn the thermostat to where it says, you want to get healthy. See, your soul says, I'm afraid. Your spirit says, God's not given me the spirit of fear. Your soul says, I'm worthless because that's what people think. But your spirit says, no, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your soul says, I just can't take it anymore. I can't go on. But what does your spirit say? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. There's an old story about a man who said he had two dogs fighting inside of him, a black dog and a white dog. And someone asked him, which one wins? And he said, it's the one I feed the most. Friend, if you feed your soul with negativity, fear, and worldly wisdom, guess what? Your soul's going to be fed the most and it'll dominate you. But if you feed your spirit with prayer, worship, and the word, guess what? Your spirit will win. Which one are you feeding more, your soul or your spirit? In Hebrews 4 and verse 12, again, it says, the word of God is living and active. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. So, friend, without the word, you won't know what's your soul and what's from your spirit. But the word cuts between them. The soul says, I feel unloved, but the word of God says nothing can separate you from the love of God. Do you see how the word is the what divides the soul and spirit? Your soul says this situation is hopeless, but what does the word say? With God, all things are possible. I want you to think of a skilled surgeon with a scalpel. He knows how to separate tissue with precision. I was just reading yesterday about Dr. Ben Carson and What an amazing story. His teacher gave him an award that he was the dumbest person in the class. And he brought it home, and instead of his mom getting upset, she put it on the wall for him to see. She wanted him to see that he would not go by what the teacher said. He would become a brilliant neurosurgeon. And he went on to become that because he fed his spirit with the Word of God, and it changed his life. That's what the Word does. It separates your human reasoning from God's revelation, your emotions from God's eternal truth. Friend, when was the last time you let the Word of God cut through the confusion and show you what was your soul and what was your spirit? See, Paul put it this way in Romans 8, verse 5 and 6. He said, "Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. And the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." See, life and peace, that's the fruit of living by the Spirit. Think about an airplane. If the co-pilot, the soul, tries to take over from the captain, that's the Spirit led by God, the plane will veer off course. But when the captain leads and the co-pilot follows, the journey is safe. I think of the three parts of man, that two parts will team up on the other one part and take control. So what has to happen? We have to get our mind renewed where it links up with the Spirit and it controls our body. Let your spirit lead, guided by the Holy Spirit, and then let your soul follow in obedience and not rebellion. Friend, today you have a choice. Will you live from the soul, just reacting to feelings, being tossed by thoughts? Or will you live from the Spirit, anchored in God's Word and communion with Him? Today, the Spirit of God wants to sharpen your discernment to know what's the flesh and what's coming from the Spirit, to be able to divide between soul and spirit so you can walk in life and peace. Father God, I bring you today my whole being, spirit, soul, and body. Forgive us, God, for letting our emotions and our thoughts rule us so many times. But today, God, we choose to live from our spirit, surrendered to your spirit, God. Tune our heart to your frequency. Divide soul from spirit with your word, and God, let my life be governed not by fear, but by your peace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Friend, I believe it's no accident you tuned in to Fresh Oil today. I believe God wanted you to hear exactly what we're talking about today. All week long on Fresh Oil, we're talking about matters of the heart, the difference in the heart and the spirit, that God wants us to live out of our spirit, and He'll bring forth a truly fruitful life when we do that. I want to thank you for joining me today on the program, Walking Grace. God loves you, friend.
What does it really mean to be in Christ? The Bible declares, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." In his new book, In Him, The Mystery of Christ in You, author and pastor Keith Manley takes you on a powerful journey through Scripture to discover your true identity, security, and destiny in Christ. You'll learn how to live free from condemnation, walk in victory, and rest in the promises of God. Not by striving, but by abiding in Him. Whether you're new in the faith or longing for deeper understanding, this book will open your eyes to the life-changing reality of Christ in you.
My new book, In Him, The Mystery of Christ in You, is available now on Amazon.com in paperback, hardcover, or the Kindle ebook. Get your copy today.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.